Our scripture reading today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Listen for God's word to us. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a way to begin the new liturgical year. Installations of the pastor, of the elder, the beginning of the Advent. What a great way to begin the new year. Happy New Year. This is a new year for the church. So this is what I say to those who have been coming to church for a while, for a long time, but never actually join. Lucille attended our church for about 8 years, and her husband joined the year number one and even served in the session. Her children went through the youth confirmation classes and became a member, but Lucille still did not join the church. She was raised a Lutheran, and she felt that becoming a Presbyterian would betray her parents. So after eight years of being at our church, I finally said to her, Lucille, you can live with us for a long time, as long as you want, but we really want to be married to you. I know the analogy is not a perfect one, but it worked. She became a member. I think the relationship that one enters into when one marries is different from just living together. I think that's the kind of relationship that you, the church, are entering into when you, the church, made the decision to invite Kim as your installed pastor, permanent pastor. Both you, the church, and the pastor are agreeing to enter into a covenantal kind of a relationship with one another, making promises to one another by saying, I do, and you will hear those I do's, and we do as well. And a covenant relationship is one where each give 100%. It's not 50-50, it's 100%, 100%. How blessed you are, church, to be installing Kim as your pastor. I've only known Kim for a very short time. As she said, we belong to the same covenant group in our presbytery. But my husband was having surgery at UCI in May. Before Kim started her day in the office, guess where she was? She came to the hospital to offer a prayer, to give me a hug, and to bring a care package for us that we will not be hungry throughout the day. What a gift she was to me and to my children that day. I am sure that many of you in this church have already experienced that kind of care and compassion and the ministry that Kim has done for you. Our friend Karen tells me that she served the same committee with Kim, and she said that if I ever needed a wedding planner, that Kim was the woman. Kim's gifts abound. Church, you are blessed to have her as your pastor. There are not many pastors around who have the gift of a wedding planner, who offers wonderful pastoral care, and who's able to deal with insurance companies nonetheless. God has called her to this place to minister to and with and among you. God has called you, elders who are being installed today, to be the session, and that together to lead this church, God's people, at this time, at this place. For such as a time as this, God has bought you, church and Kim, together to fulfill God's calling for you. God has not called Kim or you to go back to those good old days, hoping things were as it were before. That was then. Though we need to be grateful for where we come from, we cannot relive the past. We can only fully live now and into the future. You have much to be grateful for those who have gone before you. This place, this building, this wonderful building on this corner of Broadway and Clementine is a great legacy that you have received. But the church is not a building. It is the people. You are the church, the people that God has gathered and called together to be the body of Christ. The calling that you, the church, has received is to maintain the unity in the spirit and the bond of peace. Often we think that we have to maintain the church, which usually means that we have to maintain the property or to maintain the programs or traditions. But we are called, friends, to maintain the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. In the text that we read, there are so many times, listen to how many times you hear the word one in the text. One body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one God. We are called to be united in this oneness of God, God who is three in one, which is a mystery in itself. But to be united does not mean that we have to all be same. I often use this illustration in my children's moment with the children. I'll print up number of ones, the letter one, in all shapes and colors and fonts. And some are straight, some are fancy, some are leaning, others are plain. And I ask the children, which of this one is greater in value? Of course, the younger ones usually say it's the biggest one, or they'll say the prettiest one, or the coolest one is greater in value. But the older kids will roll up their eyes and give the obvious answer. Each one of us is different, all uniquely created. This one pastor is not like the other. The one elder is not like any other. You, the worshipers, are not like any other. Each one is gifted differently, but it is all together. We are brought together to be the body of Christ, the church. The next thing I tell the children is this, that at church, we count differently. In their classroom, I ask them how they count. It's 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, which equals the total of the number. But at church, this is how we count. 1 times 1 times 1 times 1. And the answer always is 1. However many ones there are of us, it is always 1. And this 1 is meant to be united. This is our call. On this Sunday of Advent, the writer of the Ephesians reminds us of the hope of our calling. The hope of our calling is to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. On this first Sunday of Advent, on the Sunday of hope, when we wait for the coming and the fulfillment of what God will do through and in and with us, we wait with anticipation, but we wait in action. In 1992, there was a movie called Sister Act. Sister Act, I don't know how many of you have seen it, with Whoopi Goldberg. I actually really love that movie. And every time I'm in a space like this, I'm always reminded of that movie. It's a story about a somewhat illustrious character who is placed under witness protection. Dolores used to be a Las Vegas showgirl, and she gets placed under witness protection at an inner city church which has seen its better days. And she is disguised as a nun, and she is put in charge of revamping their choir. She brings to this rather underwhelming choir her own unique flair and passion, and helps to transform not only the choir, but the whole church and the community. The church comes together and try what they are not comfortable with doing. They come together and do something they have never done before, and the church begins to look and feel and see how God is working in their midst, and each one of them is being transformed, is being changed, and is being open to what possibilities of what else that they can do together as the church. The church unites as one to be the people of God, to be the agents of transformation. So, church, this is my prayer for you, that you would be united together in the Spirit, in the bond of peace and love, that you would act in hope to transform this church, this community, and the world, fulfilling the calling that God has given to each and every one of you, individually and especially together as the church. To God be the glory. Let all of God's people say, Amen.